Dylan and I will be going to Peru later this year for the 100th year celebration of the Assemblies of God in the jungle. So we're going to go to the jungle, the Amazon River jungle, in October and minister 3 days at a conference there. And we're excited. We've always wanted to go to the Amazon River jungle, and we have that invitation. And so we're heading that way in October to go to the jungle. I'll probably go to Pastor Lazaro's church before I go to the jungle, though. So God's doing amazing things around the world, and you can see how important it is that we do go. I'm going to share with you a little bit about what's happening in one of the nations I was in recently, because it just fits into my message today. But there's a lot going on around the world, and we have such freedom here, and I want to encourage you to take advantage of the freedom that you do have here. You know, when we went to Azusa Street the other day, we went, you know, it's a signpost. And we went to that signpost, and we took pictures, and then we joined hands out on the street. Pastor Otto was with us, and we just begin to pray and pray in the Spirit and just pray for God to do something great in this nation again. As we went and we sat back down in the car in my van, and Pastor Lazaro was sitting next to me, and he just burst into tears and started praying in the Spirit and just grabbed my hand because of the burden he's feeling for this nation to have that move of God again, amen? That we have that outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this land. And then when we went to the house on Bonnie Bray Street where it all started, we went to that home. I told him I'm going to take his family on a spiritual journey. And then we went to Angelus Temple up there in Echo Park where Amy Simple McPherson started the Four Square Movement. We just went on a spiritual journey and prayed all day. But when we were in that Bonnie Bray house, when we were in there where William Seymour started that move of God that God was going to do through him, we gathered in that living room and we just prayed in the Spirit. It was just such a powerful time. And I want to encourage you this year, don't just pray in your understanding. Don't just pray in what you know. Don't just pray to get something. Don't just make God your ATM machine. Amen. I believe that God wants us to pray in the Spirit. As we sat Friday night in here and prayed in the Spirit, all I did was pray and prophesy, pray and prophesy, pray and prophesy what God was saying, because that's what God wanted. He's wanting us to hear from heaven right now. And the only way you're going to get in is if you get into the Spirit. You can't just say, oh, I got prayer requests. Hey, praise God, you got prayer requests. I don't care. What does God want? Because that's where he wants to take us to. He wants to take us into that place that we're with him. Because he knows what we need. He knows what we have. But we got to get into the Spirit, amen? And so these next 6 weeks, I'm going to talk to you about prayer, how to push so that we can push into his presence, that we're not settling for unanswered prayer, that we're not settling for confusion, we're not settling for lack, we're not settling for bad health, but that we're pushing into his presence, pushing into God, leaning into God, having conversations with God. Because that's what we need to do. We can all just float through this life and end up in heaven someday. But what is it going to be like when you get there? What's he going to say? Oh, I had so much for you. I wish you would have caught it. Oh, man, I don't want to hear that. I want to see him say, wow, Ron King is here. Come on, let's have a party. I don't want him to go, yeah, let him in. Yeah, we heard his name. Yeah, yep, his name's in the book. Let him in. I don't want that, man. I want him to say, oh, Ron, you tugged on us, you pulled on us, you wore your angels out. That's what I want. I don't want to be a, oh, well, you made it. Yay. I mean, we all want to make it, amen? But I want to get there knowing that I've done all that God has called me to do. I don't want to settle. Amen? So today, we're going to start talking about pushing, praying until something happens, our conversations with God, because we need answered prayers, amen? We need God to move. We need him to, as Pastor Lazaro is saying, he's praying, man. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit moved on him in my van, and he grabbed my hand, and he just started praying for us. Because we need a move of God. You know, there's so much going on in this life that we're accepting and we're tolerating. Remember I told you a while ago, it's easy to adjust to the dark. Pastor Rob was playing in the balcony one day, and he said, you know, I had the cross, the little cross up there, just lit up the room for him, you know? And that's what we need. We need to have the cross lighting up our lives, amen? Because it's so easy to adjust to the darkness around us. See, because if you sit in the dark for a while, Pastor Jesse, pretty soon your eyes are going to adjust and you're going to be able to find your way around. We can't adjust so easily to the dark. We've got to start pushing. We've got to start having conversations with God so something happens, amen? It may not always be what we want to happen, but I'm telling you, something's going to happen. So if you want to stand with me today, if you would stand with me, we're going to read out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 1 through 6 today. And it's titled, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir Defeated. Beginning at verse 1, it happened after this that the people of Moab, the people of Ammon, and the others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? And Father, I pray today as we go into your word that no one would be able to withstand you in this meeting today. That, Lord, that your word would penetrate our hearts and our minds. That, Lord, that we be transformed through the hearing of the word today, God. You are all powerful. You are our mighty God. Hallelujah, Lord. And there is nothing impossible for you. So, Lord, I pray for the possibilities to come alive inside of each one of us today. Lord, as we recognize who you are as our God. And, Lord, and that we take hold of it, Lord, not just in our minds, but in our hearts. And, Lord, your word would be on the tip of our tongue, Father. And, Lord, we'd not be controlled by the circumstances of this life, but we would glorify you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wow. I'm telling you, you start praying in the Spirit more, you're going to get so amped up, you're going to be unnoticeable because Jesus is just going to shine through you. But is there anybody here today that you've ever faced, or maybe you are facing a problem in life that you didn't know how you would ever get through that problem? Anybody here ever have situations like that? You know, I'm sure we've all come up against situations where it's like, you know, how am I going to get through this? I remember when my grandson Toby was born. I know I've told you this before, but it just moved on me when I was thinking about it this week. On how he, when he was born, and my daughter and son-in-law called me and they said, Dad, Cardi's crying. And she said, Dad, I didn't get to hold him. They took him away. They transferred him to another hospital. She says, I didn't even get to hold him. Dad, there's something wrong with him. And she's crying, and I'm sitting there, Pastor Rob, I'm sobbing in, oh, you know where I was. I was on the other side of the world. I was 6,000 miles away, and I'm crying. I'm like, oh, God. And I hang up the phone, and I'm tore up, man. I'm tore up because, you know, if you're a mom or dad, you want to fix things for your kids. You want to, you know, you want to help. You want to be a part of the solution. And, you know, and as I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking on this, I'm so upset. And I sat there in China with the tears running down my face. But then I began to recognize who God is. Everybody say, recognize. He is the Lord, my healer. He is my deliverer. He is my peace. And as I began to recognize who he is and declare it out loud over there, sitting there in front of that computer, Delonda was on the plane coming home here to see that baby. And as I began to recognize and declare who he was according to his word and according to my heart. See, because you can recognize him through the word, but when he gets in your heart, man, it's deep. And you start crying out, as Monica was saying, you ever cry out to God? Man, I started crying out. And then he started speaking to me. He said, remember, I sent you a prophet, Kenneth Copeland. And he came to you and he prophesied to you and your wife that it was going to be okay. And I'm like, oh yeah. See, when I started recognizing who God was, the remembrance of things just came back to me. He spoke to me. And as I got on the phone, I called Greg and Cardi back up. I said, hey, remember the word that I brought to you through Kenneth Copeland, that don't worry, it's going to be okay. Because when Kenneth Copeland told us that, he said, don't worry, it's going to be okay. And we're like, well, we weren't worried. You know, we had no, you know, we just figured, you know, little Toby would come and be good. So I got on the phone and I called Greg. I said, Greg, remember that God sent Kenneth Copeland all the way around the world to me to greet me, to prophesy to me that it was going to be okay. Don't worry. And they're like, oh, yeah. He went out, he got Martinelli's, he got strawberries, he rented movies, and they were having a party in her room. And the doctor came in and said, maybe you don't understand what's going on here. And they said, maybe you don't understand who our God is. But when you recognize our God, you'll understand what we're doing right now. We're celebrating because God's got this. Amen. See, when you recognize God, it's amazing what will happen. And as that word came back into my spirit, it just filled me with such joy and peace. And it's when you pray, number one, when you pray, recognize who you're calling upon. When you pray, recognize who you're calling upon. Amen? Jehoshaphat established that the God he was calling out upon was the God of heaven and the God of all creation. Listen to what he said. He said, oh Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And it wasn't a question that he was saying. It was a declaration that he was saying. Are you not God of heaven? He was declaring it. To get a better comprehension of what I'm talking about there, when he says, are you not God of heaven? Just think about this. You ever go to the desert? Don and I love to go to the desert. We go desert camping sometimes. And we go out there and we just hang out at the desert. We love going out to the desert. When you go out to the desert and you get out from under the haze of Southern California, oh my gosh, you should see how many stars are there. It is so beautiful out there. The stars just light up the sky. Delon and I were out there. We were in this campground one time, and there was nobody in the campground. We were all by ourselves, and the only light that we had was the fire and heaven. And it was beautiful. It just like, it's just moving and it's alive. But, you know, in 2005, astronomers focused the Hubble Space Telescope into space, into one direction for 28 hours, which represents the longest time of exposure in history for a telescope. So they successfully imaged and took photos of all the galaxies in that view, except some of what they call the dwarf galaxies, okay? So they were able to observe more than 10,000 galaxies. Given the distance scales, researchers could then do the math, and that more than 10,000 galaxies, and then they multiplied it around in the space, and they've figured that there's 200 billion galaxies in the observable universe. 200 billion. See, and he's recognizing who God is. You are the God in heaven. You are the God in heaven. So when you say 200 billion galaxies, with an average of 200 billion stars in each galaxy, so the number of stars within the unobserved galaxies is 10 billion trillion. I couldn't even write that out for you, okay? I wouldn't even know how to begin to write 10 billion trillion. How many numbers? That's stars in the unobserved galaxies. But in the observed galaxies, the ones that we can, the observable ones, there's 50 trillion billion stars. Is our God not great? Is our God not the God of heaven? Amen. He is incredible. And when you get that into your heart, when you recognize who God is, He is the God that created 50 billion trillion stars that we can look at. He created 10 billion galaxies for us. That's a lot of stars. And Jehoshaphat's recognizing God. Amen. And when we come to the Lord in prayer, Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You see, Jesus is telling us to recognize first who God is. That first of all, when we pray, we need to recognize God. We don't tell Him our problems first. Am I going to be okay, Mario? We need to recognize who God is first of all. Amen. When you come and pray, oh, dear Lord, I'm sick. Can you help me? Oh, dear Lord, I need money. Can you help me? Oh, dear Lord, I need this. Can you help me? Oh, dear Lord, you're the God of heaven and earth. You're the one who created us, Lord. Did you not create 50 billion trillion stars? Woo! You're my God. Hallelujah. And I'm coming to you today. I recognize you, who you are. Oh, glory to God. And I'm coming to you today. Hallelujah, Father. And I've got some petitions going to make, but you start off. You recognize who He is. See, when Jehoshaphat, he's acknowledging God above all. See, when you acknowledge that God's above your situation, God is above your problems, your issues of life, God's above your finances, God's above your health, God's above your relationships, God is above all and in all, amen? So when he comes and he starts praying, he's not saying, you know, he's not trying to remind God who he is. He's stirring up his faith. He's stirring up his faith. You are God. He's stirring it up. And then he's reminding himself to whom God really is. You know, sometimes we just got to remind ourselves. You don't got to remind God who he is. He knows who he is, amen. But we need to remind ourselves, this is God. This is the guy that created 50 billion trillion stars. Woo! See, that fast once. Hallelujah. And he's reminding himself of the potential power of God that can be unleashed on behalf of his people. Can be unleashed. God is all powerful and he's recognizing this. So when you get hit with things, in Jehoshaphat's case, a huge army coming against him, but for you it may be a debt. For you it may be a bill. It may be maybe a sickness or a divorce, a relationship issue, a job. We've all been hit with things. And it may not be as huge as an army coming against you, but it may be life and death. When we had prayer Friday night here, and just so you know, we're going to pray in the sanctuary on Friday nights now. And as we were in here praying, and then we went out, and we had a refreshment that our sister Priscilla had brought for us, and it was just such a wonderful, refreshing refreshment. And as we were sitting there and eating and we're talking, and then as I was getting up to leave, I get a text on my phone. And it's from the brother I was just with, Pakistan. And he says, Pastor Tariq has been kidnapped by the Muslims. I mean, Pastor, not Tariq, Aftab. Tariq is the guy I work with. He says, Pastor Aftab, who has been kidnapped by the Muslims. They want him to convert to Islam or be killed. They want him to close down his church because Pastor Aftab has a church. He has it above his home. I've been in that church. It's a wonderful place. Pastor Aftab is such a gentle spirit of a man, just so kind to me every time I'm there. He makes sure that when I go somewhere that everything is taken care of for me. He makes sure that they have refreshments for me. I mean, he's that guy. I don't ask for anything when I go. I don't ask for anything but water, clean water. That's the only thing I ask. Can I buy myself a case of water? I don't ever ask people to give me this or do this, or I don't set restrictions. I got to have this or I got to have that. I don't ever do that. But this guy, Pastor Aftab, makes sure that everything is taken care of for me. He knows what I like, and he just tries to make sure it happens. They kidnapped him this week. The terrorists in Pakistan kidnapped him and told him to convert and close down his church or be killed. Well, he escaped. Yeah, amen. He escaped. And with that, now they had to take his whole family out of the house. And they had to put him in a safe place. And so now they're trying to find a safe place for him to be, him and his family, where the terrorists aren't going to come and get him again. But you see, because of the network that works together with Pastor Tariq, they shut down everything right now. And Pastor Tariq's going, hey, I need to hear from the prophet. I said, you don't need to hear from the prophet. You need to hear from the Lord. And the Lord has already told you what to do. The Lord has already placed his calling on you. The Lord has already spoke direction to you. Nothing's changed. He's like, well, it'd sure be nice to hear from the prophet. I'm like, I'm telling you right now. Nothing's changed. You still have a plan. You still have purpose. You may not be meeting this week, and you may need to cool your jets for a couple of weeks, but God is going to do something on your behalf. You just stay the course. You see, we always want somebody else to come and tell us what to do. We want a prophet to come to speak to us. What happened with us getting along with God and hearing from heaven? That's got to happen. I felt so bad for Pastor F. Tab. I know his family well, and his daughter had texted me and said that, you know, that her mom is just crying and they just don't know what to do. And so it's just, you know, when we get hit, we tend to get our focus on the issue and off of God. We tend to look at the problem. And that's when Pastor Tariq was texting me, even this morning before I came to service. Just do your fasting and praying like you're supposed to be doing right now. I'm about ready to. But when those things come against us, we get confused and we get hurt. We don't understand. You know what? We don't get what God is doing. I know what God is doing. God is setting them up for a great thing. But when we're in the midst of that, we're wondering, where is God at? Why has he abandoned me? Why isn't he helping me? He's there. Aftab's not dead yet. Amen. His family hasn't been killed yet. He got away. He's in a safe place right now. I know you say, well, Pastor, that sounds a little harsh. Well, listen, we all go through junk, and we all need to keep our focus on Jesus and not on the junk. You go to the doctor tells you what he sees. He tells you the facts, Pastor Rob. He tells you, well, I ran your blood test. You got this, this, or this, you know, and we walk around going, oh, my God, oh, I'm going to die. Your wife calls you what the doctor says. The doctor says, I'm going to die. You know, we just start professing it. We start proclaiming what the doctor says over our life. Instead of walking out of there going, oh, wow, God, you heard what that doctor said? But your word declares that by your stripes I'm healed. See, because I recognize who God is. He's my healer. Yeah. Amen. And I know as you capture this and you start praying like this, you're going to see God move in a supernatural way. So the first thing Jehoshaphat does, though, is he calls fasting. He calls an assembly. You know, when we call an assembly, 6 or 7 people show up. Just telling you the truth, not to get down on you, but we had prayer the first 4 Wednesday nights, first 4 nights of this year, and the most we had was 14 people. I can't imagine that you didn't need to be here to pray. We need to pray. And see, and with Jehoshaphat, because of the issue that's at hand, he's got an army. He called, everybody come. And you know what? Everybody came. They all came together, and he proclaimed a fast. See, when we come together, and we start proclaiming fast, and we start all doing it, you know, I've had Delana says, the Lord's telling me to fast, so you got to fast. I'm like, Well, the Lord told you. Yes, but we're one, so you've got to fast with me, because I'm not going to make your meals. Okay, I'm fasting. It's never like that. I kind of embellish a little, make it funny. But we are one, so we join together. God tells her we need to fast. She woke up one day, she goes, the Lord said we have to fast for 3 days. I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm not ready for that, but okay. Get the water out, you know? And we did. We just fasted 3 days, just drinking water and some broth. You can do it, but you need to do it, amen? When the pastor stands up and says, we need to fast, what do you need to do? Well, a few of you know. But our flesh has been so weak. We've just been like, I'm telling you, if you want to see answered prayers in your life, you got to wake your spirit man up like never before this year. And you got to start recognizing who God is and recognize what he wants to do in you and through you. Because our God is all powerful, amen? Our God can take care of any situation I'm in. But I just need to connect with God and not my situation. See, but we identify with our situations. We identify with disease. We identify with sickness. But I want to identify with the healer, amen? I want to identify with my deliverer. I want to be free, amen? Come together. People join them, fasting. Fasting and community coming together. Together we're better, amen? Together we are better. We have 4 prayer meetings going on in this church. Rainey, what time do you meet on Tuesdays? 9:30? Really? 9:30? 9:30 Tuesdays, Rainey meets. Pastor Rob, Thursday at 7 at your house. Friday, 7 at the sanctuary. Saturday, 6 o'clock. Are you in the foyer? In the foyer, 6 o'clock in the foyer on Saturday. 4 prayer meetings a week. I'm not saying come to them all. I don't go to them all. But you could come to, everybody say it. Everybody say it. 2. I'd be happy with 2, but if you could just come to 1. Because when we connect with God corporately, there's power in it. That's what Jehoshaphat realized. I can't do this alone. I got to have a group of people to come together, and we're going to fast. Remember Matthew 18, 19 and 20, it says, again I say to you that if 2, everybody say 2, of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where there are 2 or 3 gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So we know that he is here today because we are gathered together in his name. So he's here. His presence is in this place right now. In fact, as he's recognizing God, number 2, in relationship.
As I read about the crucifixion this past week, because I'm doing through the Bible, and I've already finished the book of Luke this year. I'm into Genesis. I'm in the book of Acts. I've read the book of Daniel and the book of Luke already. And it is, man, it's just so incredible. But as I read about the crucifixion this past week, when Jesus was on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two, top to bottom. And what it symbolizes is that it was taking away the separation between God and us. That we are no longer separated from God. That we have access to God. That we can come in to his presence. Amen. We can go into the holies of holies as much as we want to go. We have that access to God. And by the grace of God, we can have relationship with him. We don't have to be separate. We can have that relationship. In Jehoshaphat, in his prayer, he says, And he's talking about God. He says, do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one, everybody say no one, is able to withstand you? This is, he's declaring this, that God is the God of power. Everybody say power. You are powerful. Because if you read Acts 1:8, you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Power. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God empowers you. He gives you power. Amen. So, but the power of God, it's not, when he declares it there, when he says in your right hand, in your hand, is there not power and might? It's not past tense. He's not just talking about the creation power. It's a present tense word. It's active. It's moving. It's living. It's available to us. Amen. It's vital power. It's not just power that has potential, but rather power that performs. It's a performance, amen? You know, we went to the boat show yesterday, and we looked at some of these high-performance boats. Oh, my gosh. This one we looked at, like a cigarette boat, $1.3 million for this boat. It was incredible, but it was powerful. It had double engines and stuff, and it did like 130 miles an hour on the water, you know. I don't know if you ever want to go that fast, but I mean, it was powerful. And Jesus is way more powerful, amen? He is all powerful. He has the power, and it's proven. He has a proven record of performance of his power. We have this whole thing right here, the whole word of God, the whole counsel of God that describes and it testifies to the power of God. You know, in Jehoshaphat, he's recognizing this, he knew the history of what God had done, how he opened the Red Sea and the people walked across on dry ground and how it swallowed up the Egyptians and how they fed the nation of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. See, Jehoshaphat's thinking on these things, how he has sent fire down from heaven, how he caused the axe head to float from the prophet, how he made the donkey talk to speak to the prophet, and how the false prophets could not withstand the power of God and his consuming the sacrifice on Mount Carmel with Elijah. You see, the king is like, this is the God, the all-powerful God. This is the God that does these things. We can go on and on. It's not just power that created the heavens and earth, but the power that is still alive today, amen. The power over your situation, over my situation. The power of God that can change your situation in an instant. That God, we believe God wants to begin to do suddenlies in your life. That you're going to suddenly see a move of God in your life like never before. And when you see those suddenlies happen, God wants you to raise your hands and to glorify him wherever it happens. Amen. Because get ready for the suddenlies. Because Jesus, when he walked this earth, he walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. And blind eyes were opened. Deaf ears popped open. The mute began to speak. The dead were raised. He cast out demons. And the dead hand was come back to life. The list goes on and on and on. There's not enough room to write about all the miracles that Jesus did. I just remember that day when I said, people came through. I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And Rose is sitting back there in a wheelchair. Rose, I see you back there. And how Rose stood up. And I'm like, hey, Rose can't walk. She's paralyzed. And went out and I said, hey, Joe, where's Rose? He goes, I don't know. She walked off. I'm like, oh my gosh. I said, I thought she couldn't walk. He says, me too. Rose comes back in the foyer. She goes, Pastor, you're not going to believe what happened to me today. The Lord woke my leg up. See, he's still rolling. He's still powerful, amen. He's still in control. He can still help you. He's still able to help you. He still wants to help you. And we just need to start recognizing who he is in our life. God, let it bring it down to us. God, I know. Everybody say, I know. I know you will heal me from cancer. I know you'll deliver me from arthritis. I know you'll deliver my kid from drugs and alcohol. I know you'll bring salvation to my kids. I know you'll save my wife or my husband. I know that I know that I know. I have an assurance of your word, and I recognize you're that the God that is all powerful and can do all these things. So when you come to the Lord, it's recognizing that it's not by power or by might it's going to defeat the enemy. It's by the Spirit, says the Lord. It's by the Spirit. Recognizing who the Spirit is. This is why we need to have relationship with God. Amen. The Father. So that we can recognize what He can do. What He will do. What He is doing. So God, the God we know that answers is able to answer your issue today. You just can't be afraid. I know so many people that will only go so far with God because to go any deeper would require change. And we get so comfortable with the way we are that instead of making friends with God, we've made friends with who we are. And we're okay with that. I'm not okay with that. I want to be a friend of God. Amen. I want to have deep relationship with Him. And I want to recognize Him as my God, my Savior, my King, the Lord of everything. So to apply all this, begin to pray. But when you go to prayer, recognize who God is. You might have to just start saying it out of the Word, but as you say it out of the Word, it'll come alive in your spirit. And you'll be recognizing who God is out of your heart. It'll flow like a river of living water. Start your prayers not with petitions, but recognizing who He is. Who He is according to the Word and who He is according to you. In your relationship with God, how do you identify with Him? Is He somebody far away? Is He somebody that's so ancient that you can't connect? I remember one day somebody said to me, "Pastor, I have a hard time connecting with you when you wear a suit and tie." I was a young person. I said, "Really?" I said, "I have a hard time connecting with you with all your tattoos." Person looked at me like, "What?" I said, "You see how stupid that sounds? We can connect with each other, and we got to learn to connect with God, amen? We got to take down the barriers so that we're connecting with God, so that we're having conversations with God that are real, amen? We got to recognize who He is. There's a dynamic secret of knowing how to come into God's court. Recognizing you're not coming to a man, a vessel, or an instrument that is simply being used by God as a channel for blessing. You are coming up into the very throne room of God. You are approaching the Lord God Almighty, the all-powerful, the one who created the heavens and the 50 billion trillion stars. That's who you're approaching. And we need to recognize Him, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Holy, holy, holy is your name. The God who created the heavens and the earth. You're speaking to Him when you pray. So to give honor, to recognize Him is a great way to start towards getting answered prayers. Don't just come to God with your list. Come and recognize God. Hallow His name. Hallow Him. Amen. I want to just go ahead and put that last slide up there, Ed. Oh God, You are God. There is no other God beside You. You are the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Your right hand there is power and might, so that nothing is able to withstand You. There's no sickness You cannot heal. There's no problem You cannot solve. There's no power You cannot overcome.
You are God. Everything in heaven and earth is under your power. You are above it all. Amen. I just want you to know, I've been reading a lot of Morris Cirillo's books. And a lot of this message came out of his book on why we have so much unanswered prayer. And this was what he said to declare at the end of that chapter on recognizing who God is. So I would like us to stand today and say it together. That as we say it as a congregation in unity by faith, that we are declaring who God is. We are recognizing God. And so, ready? Begin. Oh God, you are God. There is no other God besides you. You are the creator of heaven and earth, and in your right hand there is power and might, so that nothing is able to withstand you. There is no sickness you cannot heal. There is no problem you cannot solve. There is no power you cannot overcome. You are God. Everything in heaven and earth is under your power. You are above all. Hallelujah! I'm going to ask if the communion team would come right now. And while they're coming, maybe you haven't been recognizing God. And you say, Pastor, I'm going to make that switch in my life today. I'm going to start recognizing God every day more and more. I'm going to declare who he is. If that's you today, just raise your hand. You're going to start recognizing him. Amen, 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 amen. Put him at the forefront of your mind. Put him at the forefront of who you are. Let's just, before we serve, you come and get the emblems. Is there anybody here that needs to make a commitment to Jesus today? Say, Pastor, I haven't been where I should be with God, but I need to be today. If that's you, just raise your hand and wave at me, and we're going to pray. Anybody here? Amen. Okay. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Okay. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Four or five people already, so let's say this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, that he died for me, that he rose from the dead. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. I repent for them. I give you my life today. Forgive me. I'm so sorry that I've wandered into the wilderness. But today, I'm coming back. I'm getting in line with you, Jesus. And today, I recognize you as my Savior. Give me strength today. In Jesus' name, amen.